This event took place near Galilee. Jesus has left the town of Tyre and he's going through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee to Decapolis. And as he was on this journey, some people who lived there brought a man to him. It was a man who had quite profound problems. He was deaf and it says he could hardly talk. So I suppose nowadays we might say he was dumb. He couldn't hear, he couldn't really speak intelligently. They begged Jesus to place his hand on him. So they wanted Jesus to do something for this man. This is curious because it shows that they believed Jesus and who he was and that he could actually do this. They had seen and heard other miracles. They had seen Jesus make arms and legs strong again in a moment. They had seen him touch the lepers and make them completely clean. They had heard about the amazing speech he made to the waves to be still. So they knew that Jesus was different, that he wasn't just a man. They at least knew he was special, even if they didn't know that he was the eternal God. This man who was brought was completely dumb and he couldn't speak clearly. He couldn't make himself heard or understood. Maybe he had become deaf for some reason. Maybe he'd had an accident and that had also affected his speaking. So Jesus is going to do something in this miracle that's slightly different. He's going to make this miracle look very obvious. He's going to show us something in this miracle. The deafness of this man shows us that he doesn't hear from God and he doesn't speak to God. He doesn't hear God's law speaking to him and convicting of his sins. He's insensible to the outcome of disobeying the law and what God says. And he remains undisturbed by God's word because he cannot hear it. And it really means nothing to him. He can't hear the gospel being spoken to him. He doesn't hear the beautiful message of free forgiveness and a brand new life to anyone who believes and that he can be part of God's family. He has never heard that before. He doesn't hear the words of the loving people around him who try to help him, try to tell him the way to peace. He doesn't understand what grace is because it's not in his experience. His dumbness, he cannot speak about God. He cannot tell people what God has done for him because he doesn't understand it. He has no motivation to do anything for God because he has never felt that power of grace in his life. But this man is fortunate because he has friends. He has friends who have a strong desire to bring this man into the kingdom of God and to hear about Christ in a personal way. So they bring him personally to Jesus and they implore Jesus to put his hand on the man and heal him because they've heard him and seen him doing that to other people. Let's think about Jesus, how he conducted himself when he did this miracle. Jesus is not a showman. He is not somebody drawing attention to himself at the front and trying to make a spectacle of himself. He doesn't do that. He takes the man aside from the crowd of people. He takes him aside because this is going to be a personal encounter. This is not going to happen in full view of everyone. The Lord deals with us personally. He speaks into our lives in a personal way. But this man couldn't be encouraged by actual speech because he was deaf. So Jesus touches him so that the man would know that he cared about him and that he had the power to do something for him. This is the kindness of Jesus. He sees into our hearts and our minds. He sees all our weaknesses, all our inability, all our disability. And he reaches out to us in a way that we will understand. And Jesus provides aids to faith. He has given us his word. He has shown the man and communicated in a way that he would understand. He gives us prayer. We can speak to him in our inner selves. And Jesus was going to do this miracle in a slightly different way. He was going to show us the process of the miracle, rather than just the instantaneous act. So really what we're going to see with this man is the anatomy of a miracle. There are four stages, so to speak. Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Jesus spat on his hand and touched the man's tongue. Jesus looks to heaven and he deeply sighs. And then he speaks the word Ephratha, which means be opened. Jesus shows the miracle to us in this way so that it's more like a human event. It's slowed down so that we can see the different parts of it. We can examine it and we can learn from it. Jesus is showing us that he is the Lord of everything. He is the time Lord. Time, he can contract time. He can make things happen instantaneously that for us would take years and years and years and years. And he does it in a series of events, like the series of events that happen to us in our lives, the way we understand it. So Jesus is showing a deep compassion for this man and his predicament. And he is like that towards us as well. He knows the situation of every human heart. And he sees our sorrow the same way as he saw this man's sorrow. He knows that this man is excluded from society. His inabilities and his failures make him not able to participate. And the Lord sees that in us as well. He wants to make us able. Not just for human society, but for his society and for life in his everlasting kingdom. Jesus looks to heaven. Heaven is our only hope. We cannot fix ourselves. We cannot forgive our own sins. We cannot pay for our own sins. We can't make ourselves willing to come. We can't give ourselves any feelings of love towards the Lord Jesus. If he does not love us, we have no love. And so we see the heart of Christ here. As he reaches out to this man, so he reaches out to us, that he can fix us and he can meet our needs. He can help us. Jesus sighs deeply. He is deeply concerned for this man. And he is deeply concerned for us. He is so concerned that he left heaven and humbled himself, veiling his glory for a short time and becoming like us and walking in our lives, walking in our time on our planet so that he could be our saviour. And ultimately, he died on the cross to pay for our rottenness. He didn't have to do that. He could just send us all to hell. He could all just let us pay for our own sins. But that is not the love in his heart. His heart is that we should not have to do that. We should not have to suffer. And so he deeply sighs for us. He looked up to heaven. Heaven is the place of all authority and all power because God the Father is there. Jesus doesn't need help to do this miracle. He has got this power in himself because of who he is. He is the Son of God. He is the third person in the Trinity, and he has the power and authority to forgive sins and to heal and to make us new because of who he is. So he makes no prayer request. He looks to heaven because that place is his authority and his power as well. This act was for this man's benefit, and God is teaching us that all good things come from him. Jesus is teaching us that there is a benefit for us also if we come to him. So Jesus, when he comes to this man, he must be tired. He's on a walking journey for a very long distance. His humanness, he feels the tiredness. But as this man is brought to him, there is no hesitancy with the Lord Jesus. He's not commiserating with the man and being so sorry for him and for his predicament of his suffering. No, he approaches this man with great dignity. And he knows that the man's hearing and speaking comes from God, and he is going to give it back to him. And also for us, our spiritual understanding, our hearing spiritual things and our speaking spiritual things is from God also.
Without Christ, there is no spiritual understanding and there is no spiritual speaking. And he pities us in our lack of understanding and faith and our hesitancy to come to him. He understands that. He knows our weakness. He knows our sinfulness. He knows the hatefulness is often in our heart, even towards himself. So Jesus says to this man, be opened. And so now the ears can hear and the man can speak clearly. The man is heard plainly, as perhaps people heard him before he had the accident that took away his hearing and his speaking. And his speech is now clear as well. He understands what Jesus has done for him, and he could tell you what Jesus has done for him. He could tell you his sinfulness. He could tell you he is now clean and what God has done for him to make him a worthy child of God. And if you understand what Jesus has done for you, then you will also be able to speak for him and about him. You must take the remedy that Jesus offers for that change to take place. And you will have a testimony. You will have a story about what Jesus has done for you, a personal story. You'll be able to tell people. It'll be real. You'll be able to tell people what Jesus has done for you. Everyone could see that the man was cured. It was so obvious. The people immediately focused on Jesus, and they were completely amazed and overcome that he had done this. He has done everything well, they said. They recognised what Jesus had done with great joy, and they recognised significantly his love towards this man. And so Jesus is so unlike us. He is the humble Lord. He is not trying to show off or draw attention to himself. He rescues all who call on him, no matter how small we might think we are, no matter how disabled, how ill, how sinful we think we are, we can come to him. It was an ordinary seeming act. It wasn't a big fancy thing in front of people with lots of noise and shouting and music and stuff like that. It was just a small, small act, and yet it was so huge because the power of God, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, was in it. Jesus did it freely. There was no payment. There was no contribution to the upkeep of his disciples or his own self. Jesus did everything freely with no payment. And he does that for us too. The forgiveness of sins that he offers us, the free and full forgiveness and a new life, is an act of grace and mercy towards us. And we do not have to pay. We cannot pay anyway. So Jesus is the perfect Saviour. He is our perfect Saviour. And the question really is he your perfect Saviour? Or are you still deaf to his words and mute to speaking about him, praising him, honouring him? The hymn writer wrote these words about this event. He says, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, the broken heart to rejoice. And that's really the key thing. Are we rejoicing in unstopped ears, loosed tongue, so that we can see and we can speak about Jesus? Are our hearts mended from the brokenness of sin so that we can acknowledge him and love him?